And we'll pretend like there's not just one person. If you go back to my examples, what I did on Tuesday was I did the introduction to calc, the calc project, and the math. So take a look at those. But those were the three that I did on Tuesday. I'm going to look at the exception and the group, and then we're going to move on to the if statements. So the first one I'm going to look at is the group project. So use group project. And that's the first one. And that one really doesn't have a lot. Come on, you can do it. Okay, now I actually played it, so yours is going to look different from mine because I was playing with this last night as I was looking over what I was going to do today. Come on, you can do it. Now we're waiting for the smart notebook because I told it to save. Thank you. Okay, so what I have here is this is a group. And if you look over under properties, you can see group products info. So I made a group and I made it first. I first drew the lines for the group. And then after I made the group, the next thing that I did, let me bring this up. Okay, so I need that there and then this on top of it, that's right. I made the group and then I put stuff inside the group after I made the group. I put the stuff inside the group. So I've got the group product information and then I decided, okay, I have this group, I can design it. So I went into the group and I said, okay, I'm going to change the background color to that light blue and I'm going to change the font color to that kind of brownish reddish. So I changed, rather than having to change each thing individually, by having it a group, I could highlight the area, I could change its look and everything, because it was a group. And so that's the advantage of making a group thing, is that you then need to, you get to choose, to kind of handle it as a big group thing.
So that box is all, that box that you made, and you put all the text boxes in
there? Right, right. I made the box first, I made the group first, and then I put the stuff inside it. And this is a group box. Okay, so in the toolbar, it's group box that I'm going to drag over. So if I go to my toolbar and common controls, okay, I'm not seeing group box under that, so I may have to go out containers. There it is. It's under group box and containers. Okay, so I drag the group box over. So I have different categories in this sets of toolboxes. So there I dragged over a group box that was under containers. And as we're going through and using different things, you're going to see different ways of doing that. Okay, saving ink notes did not seem to want to go away. So I'm going to save it one more time and see if it actually works this time. Nothing is working. Okay, so calculate profit. if I look at this, I have, first of all, a form load. So up here, I have a form load. And the way you make the form load is if you click anywhere on the form that is blank, it will create the form load subroutine. So if I'll just take this out for a minute and delete it. And if I come back out and run this, it will not do anything when the form is loaded other than just present the form. And eventually we will get there. The build has started, it wants us to know. Come on, you foolish machine. There it is. So nothing happened before it started, okay? So now I go back out and I go to the design. Come on. And I click any blank place in the form. It is painful today.
So you've already done this, but if I clicked on that, it would add a second one, wouldn't it?
No.
No.
I don't think it would on the form load. Try and see. Why is that not? Okay, we're in. Okay, that's what's supposed to happen. Nothing is happening the way it's supposed to today. But anyway, if I click on a blank place in the form, it creates the form load. Okay. And when it creates the form load, and why is it giving me an error now? I have no idea what that error is about. What does it say? Multiple definitions with identical signatures. So that must mean that it created it down here. It's one of the times when I was trying to get it to do it, it actually did something. So now it's all cleared up. So you're right, it was trying to make a second one, and it actually gave me an error for trying to make a second one. I took it away, I clicked on it anywhere in the form, and apparently it actually did it. Usually what it does is when it does it, it flips over to the code,
yeah,
so you can see
I tried
that it did it.
That's where it went right back to the design.
Right, and that's what it's supposed to do. But for some reason, it's being temperamental and it didn't. So that means that I now will do something when the form is loaded. So if you remember back, that's kind of like housekeeping or startup. The things you put in form load are one-time things. Things you want to happen once when the form is loaded. So this is what I've got. When the form is loaded, I put out this message box that said, please enter the item name, the price, and the cost. And so it indeed entered those. And then it will be ready to bring up the form. But on form load, I just said, bring up the item name, price, and cost, and then it will load the form. Okay, so that is done. Now if I click OK, it's gonna load the form, and there's the form. Okay, so in the form, I just had the item is a flash drive. And the price is $25, and the cost is $16, and calculate profit tells me the profit, and at the same time, it makes everything numeric, currency type numeric. So what I did is I set up a place in memory, and this time I called it Double Profit because I was making double. Lots of times I call it WK, whatever. But when I define a variable, I usually put something in front of it that distinguishes it from fields on the form. So I said Double Profit and then set up cost and price. I read them in and converted them using CDBL because that does the conversion. So I converted them over, and then I started putting the data from the work areas up onto the form, and I also needed to subtract cost from price. Okay? And the two-string currency converts it to a string that has commas and decimal, dollar signs and all that good things in it. Okay? So take the number, convert it to a string of the currency type, means that it will...
That's what the C inside.
That's the C inside, means currency. And there are other ones that escape me. The book may tell if you have the book. As I told you, did you buy the book?
I have a book.
Okay. Come back.
Okay. But with 15, I meant to ask you to tell you when I was doing my homework, the me.close, I think you can just use the .close now.
Yeah.
So,
actually, I think the .close was ahead of time.
Oh, was it?
That's been around a long time.
Because it underlined it and said possible error or whatever.
Oh, really? Okay.
So.
Okay. That should have been all right, but dot close works as well. I mean, just close works as well. Okay, so now we've got calculate profit, clear, clears everything out, and exit exits it. So I have the dot clear on all of the text boxes, and that clears it out. So this one has the group in it, and it has the load of a new form, the form load, meaning that this is what happens when the form is loaded. So prior to the form being loaded, I put out a message box, and then it loaded the form. Questions? Okay, moving right along. The next one is exceptions. Open the project solution, and I'm looking for the one that says intro exception project. Okay, this is a way to catch errors. So I have got out here a convert that simply converts something and then puts it up as currency. And then I've got another one that will catch if I have a problem. So it will tell me that I have a data problem. Okay? So if I run this, and I put in here 123.45, okay, and I say convert only, it did two things. First of all, I converted what I typed to an integer, so it took the 123.45 and converted it to 123. And then I said, when you put it up on the screen, convert it to currency, and it converted it to currency. Okay, so it did two things. It truncated off the 0.45, and it put up the 123. Now, let's try that with the 12389 or something. So I'm gonna put 89 in and say convert, and then it rounded. So five and up, it's rounding. Below, it's converting. It's truncating, rather. Okay? And if I say convert try catch, it will just do exactly the same thing because things are working. But if I came up here and put 1, 2, AB in and clicked on convert only, it crashes. Okay, so it crashed. So now, and it says conversion from string 12AB to type integer is not valid. So it told me that that was not a valid thing to do. So now I'm going to close this, and notice it says continue up there. If I hit the brown box, it stops the debugging. So I'm going to now do this again, and I'm going to again put up the 1, 2, AB, but this time I'm going to hit the convert with the try catch, and it tells me I have a data problem. It doesn't crash, but it still can't do it, but it doesn't crash. And the reason is that I said try this stuff and catch as an exception. So if something happens, it goes out and in text result.txt it puts data problem as opposed to the data. So if the stuff inside the try is going to result in an error, this is a way to tell it, don't crash, just tell me about the error. Questions?
No, I get that. The convert only is only the integers.
Right. Convert only just said do it. And if you put in bad data, it would crash. Okay? And so this is the kind of thing that you want to have a lot, because you should always treat your user like a total idiot and assume that your user is going to make stupid mistakes. And your job is to try to minimize the damage they do by catching the mistakes. Okay, this last one is also a try-catch. And I said here, put in some numbers. And I am going to say calculate, and it tells me $3 because it's doing a divide. Okay, so I'm doing a divide. I've set up work areas, I've put the data into them. I'm only allowing integers in the first row, so I convert the integer because I define integer num1 as integers, and then I take what comes in and converts it to an integer. So if they enter a decimal, it will be converted to an integer. Okay, and then I put it out. But if I run into a problem, I've now got two specific kinds of errors. And the book will tell you some other kinds of errors, or you can just go and look them up on the web and see what try-catch errors they have. But one of the ones they have, this one was the top one, we just did, just was an exception, if anything happened. But I can get more explicit and say, if it's an invalid cast exception, meaning it's not numeric, or if I tried to divide by zero, which gives me infinity, because if I divide by zero, I get infinity. So if I put in here, I want to have an A. Wait a minute, I'm not sure I took a picture of this. If I put in an A and I try to divide by A, then it tells me data not numeric. So I'm getting that message that I chose to put out that says data not numeric. If I try to divide by zero It used to come up with the note that I told it to come up with, but it doesn't do that anymore. Now it kind of shows an infinity sign. You wouldn't probably know that was an infinity sign, but it is an infinity sign. So it's showing the infinity sign as opposed to whatever message I told it, which I just told it another error. Okay? So it works just fine, but they choose it with the divide by zero. They choose to ignore my error and put out their own error.
It overrides your error.
That's right. That's right. So way back when I divided by zero, I could specify an error message, and then they decided they liked theirs better than mine. So be it. Whatever. But the point here is, up at the first one that I did, I just said, any problem, put it out as an exception. Here I said, okay, catch is this or catch is that, and I was looking for specific errors. Okay? So I can have multiple categories of errors with the try, is the point that I was making. Okay. Questions? Okay, the next thing we're going to get into is if statements, and we really won't move at this fast a pace after a while, but the beginning stuff moves at a fairly slow pace in the books. And there's only so much you can do. So we're going to look at if statements. And I'm going to go in and open Project Solution. And I am going to be looking at the one that says intro if. Yes, is that what you said?
Yes.
That's the one. So we're going to look at intro if. Okay. Now, clearly I was lazy because I just said input and I put three boxes. At this point, you have no idea what I want in those three boxes. Okay? But if you go over and look at the code, you can figure it out. Or just look at the boxes. That first box is text. No, I didn't even give them a name. I thought I had actually done it. So text first, text second, text third. So that doesn't help me very much either. But if I go look at the code, notice that the beginning one, I can see that it's going to check text first to see if it's CI. And then if I look down here, text second, it's looking for a number. So I can figure out what I should be typing in based on those. And where's text third? Text third is also looking for a number. Okay, so I can tell by looking at these what it wants. So if I start out and I click on start, so it's the first one is looking for CI. And I don't remember what the others want, so I'm going to put in 12 and 4. And then we'll just see where we go for this. So the first one says check CI. And that's actually all it's looking at, so I didn't have to put in the 12 and the 4. So I'm saying check CI. And notice what it did. If the text first dot text, so if the text in text first is equal to CI, then take text result, which is that big box, change the background color to antique white, change the color to red, and write out the message CI major. Okay, so I went in and it was correct, so I said, okay, I want this answer to stand out. So I'm changing the background color of the box, the foreground color of the box, and I'm putting out a message. Else, I'm going to change the background color to beige, change the color to brown, and say not a CI major.
Can you use that, the color tag there? Does it pop up like a separate scroll-down menu at all for colors, or do you have to choose your own?
You know, that's a good question. I'm going to try it in a minute, but I actually want to continue on and do a not CI, and then we'll try it. So if I could be you there and say check CI, it comes up the beige, the brown, and the not a CI major. Okay. So let's close it and go back here and get rid of the red. So I'm going to write color dot. And it gives me a whole list of ones that I can put in there if I happen to know what they were. What I couldn't remember was whether it came up with a list like that,
yes,
or whether it actually showed the colors.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, like, if it had the list there.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know whether it had the list or whether,
where
you know, how
like
those little template
that
things
like
that comes up with.
Colors inside the box, yeah.
Right. That would have been nice. Okay, so that's dot red. Okay. Now, the second one, I cleared everything out because since I had changed it, I put data in, and I changed the background color back. So the clear changes the background color back. So if I put in the CI and I click, and now if I say clear, it changes it back. I cleared the content out of the boxes, but then I changed the boxes back so that they are, the background color is white, and the default, if I type there, is black. So that's what happens with the clear. Okay, so now the next one gets into how to write an if statement. So I'm saying if text first, so let's put it up there. If I've got CI and the next one is greater than 3.5, so I'll put a 4, and I'm doing check and, which is the name of this, and it then tells me honors. So if text first dot text equals CI, then I ask the next question, is text second dot text greater than 3.5? And if it is, I put out the word honors. Now this is a different style from PHP and that sort of thing where they use the curly braces. And frankly, I like this a lot better. But maybe it's because the first language I learned did it that way. I don't have to line up my damn curly braces.
Curly braces, worry about which
way coincide. That's right. So, and another nice thing is that Visual Basic automatically indents.
Tabs it for you.
Huh?
Tabs it over for you.
Yes. So if I'm writing, it is helping me all the way. And it's tabbing the stuff over. And it is setting it up so that the end ifs are underneath the if that they go with. And they're doing this for me, which 99% of the time I like. Sometimes I want to do something that they don't want me to do, and we have to fight about it. But most of the time, it's an asset. Okay? Now, the other thing is I can write this as I showed in the notes there. Remember that a single quote is a note. And what I write there is, okay, if it's CI, and, so the and can be in there because those two have an and relationship. Okay? So I've got on this, I'm asking, is it CI? And if it is CI, then I'm asking, is text second greater than 3.5? And if the answer is yes, then I'm putting out honors. And if it's a no, and there's my end if. So if it's a no, I'm doing nothing. If I want to do something with a no, I'll put in an else, which we'll see on the next one. And here, if it's a no, I'm doing nothing. And so I'm dropping down. And there's my logic.
Okay.
If I add an else, which I'm doing in the next problem down beneath it, then I am basically going back and it's saying else, text result not honors. So I'm putting in a box right here that says not honors. Okay. So that's putting in that box. And then I've got an else where I'm putting non-honors in here as well. Okay. So I've got my else's there, and my else's go up and say not honors, not honors. So I ask the question, if it's CI, then I'm enclosing an entire question in under that if. Ask the second question. Is it greater than 35? If it is, put out honors. Else, put out not honors. And that ends the if, and there's the end if right there. So this is the end if. And then I say else on the first question and tell it not honors there. And then I get the end if for this one. So this end if is right there, and this one is over there. And if you look at the picture, those of you who are at home, you'll see what over there means. Yeah.
That last one, you don't check to the top if it's no.
Right. Yeah, because what I've got here is this if, else, and if all go together. This if, else, and if all go together. You see how it goes? So the if, else, and if is all embedded in there. The if, else, and if is outside here. So they go together. And then this can be written as a compound also, where I say if it's CI and it's greater than 3.6, then write out honors, else write out not honors. Now, this can be a compound because I have the same error message in both of them. But, and let's go out for a minute. So I can play with this. Okay, if I change this to not CI and not honors, or not CI, I'll just leave it that way. Not CI. Okay. So I've now got two different messages. Okay. So if I run this, and I put in CI, and I put in 3.7, and I say run it, and this is the one with the elts that I'm running. It says Honest. Okay. Now if I change that and put a 2 there and run it, it comes back with the not Honest. Now if I change this to BU and put 3 there or whatever and run that, it now is saying not CI. Okay, because it got a no to the CI question, and when it got a no to the CI question, it dropped down and it wrote out not CI. Okay, now can this one be turned into a compound?
No.
No. And the reason is that I wouldn't know what to put in the else. Because the else is what happens if it doesn't meet the criteria. I have two different messages, so I can't have, okay, different messages. So, no compound. Because I have different messages now. And with different messages, I don't get a compound. Because I don't, there's nothing I can put. All I'd have to do in the else statement is now ask, is it CI, to find out which message to put out. So I'd be asking the message all over again. So I can't have a compound if the messages are different here. Okay, so if I put the message back the same, whoops, changes are not allowed while code is running. I knew that. Okay, so now if I change this back to honors, then the compound is fine. Because now I'm saying not honors on both, and so the compound works fine. And that's the one I actually head down below so that you can see it. Is, I said not honors, not a CI suit. So I had picked that up and put that in down below. So on the next one, I've got an OR relationship. And that's why I'm saying either one of those have to be true. And so if you remember back, the flowchart that I would do for this would be, I'm asking if it's CI, and if it is, then I'm going to say okay. Else, I'm asking is it greater than 3.5. If it is, I'm going to say okay. Else, I'm out of things to do. So I just have end ifs here. So notice that last thing did not have an else. So if you look at it, this one has if and if. This one has the if else. So the last question didn't have an else. Okay, ors have to have an else because it's this or this. So if it's CI, do such and such. Else, if it's not CI, ask if it's greater than 3.5. If it is, put out okay. Otherwise, don't put anything out. Okay? Okay, and on the next one looking down, I'll fill in that. But right now, that's just a simple or. Okay. You look like you have a question.
No, I'm just figuring out the next one for the job.
Okay. The next one is if we pull up the code. Okay. Actually, that's kind of neat. The code actually fits. Except that now I've got like that. So if it's if, else, and if, then this one is an if, else, and if. Well, sorta. That was close. Maybe I'll just actually make the lines that really work. Okay, so that one had a not either. So if you look over at the flowchart, the not either would be right there in the flowchart. Huh?
That was right.
Okay. So there's the else either in the flowchart that goes with that one. Oh my, wasn't that neat? Okay, and the next one. Can I get rid of that, please? Thank you. There's too many things flashing up here. Okay, the next one is, let me see, go back a minute. Okay, so there's a simple compound. There's the one that we looked at. Okay, on the one with three different things, I definitely could not have, because I said if it's C, okay, going back to the second one, if it's CI or greater than three, put out okay, else put out a message. And I put not either, and I should have probably put either because I used either up here. But the point is, if it's CI, if it's greater than three, I put out okay. Else I can put out either so I can make a compound there. Okay, because I don't care which one is true, I'm putting out either. Oh, man, I'm putting out okay. If I get a no to both of them, I'm putting out neither, or I should have maybe not either, probably. Now on this one, can I make that a compound?
Okay.
What I've got is I'm saying if it's CI, I'm putting out the message CI major. Else, so that's the no, I'm asking is the second one greater than 3.5? And if it is, I'm putting out the message that says honors GPA. And if the answer is no, I'm putting out the message that says not either. So this is what I've got. I can't make this a compound because I have different messages for everything. So I can't say, is it CI or is the second one greater than 3.5? Because then which message do I put out? They're different messages. The yeses are different messages. So since the yeses are different messages, hi.
Are you living in class?
Yeah, with one person, but therefore. So the CI or the greater than 3.5, either one or the other, is what gets me a positive message. but it gives me different positive messages. If I get a no to both of them, I get not either.
As long as one of them would be the same message.
That's right. So if I'd said, when I did the one back and forth, if I said okay, instead of CI major and okay, instead of honors GPA, then I can make it compound. Because I don't care which one is true, I'm going to put out the message okay. So, in this case, these are different, so no compound. If they're the same, if they're the same message, then I can use the compound. Does that make sense? Okay, the next one gets into the either or kind of thing, where I am saying, if it, actually let me take a picture of the screen before I put the flowchart on so people can actually read it. Okay, so this one is saying, if it is CI, then ask the next question, right? So that means yes. If it's yes, come over here and ask the next question, which is it greater than 3.5? And if the answer is yes to that, then I am putting out a message that says meets criteria. Okay. Now, if it's not greater than 3.5, I get the else. So if it's not, I get the else. And the else says, is third greater than 30? And if third is greater than 30, I put out meets criteria. Okay. And then I don't have some else's there, so that's the end of that. And I put out a yes, and if it's a no, I do nothing. And then I come in. And if it's not CI, I also do nothing. So what I've got there is the situation where CI has to be true. And either of the other criteria. Either of the other criteria has to be. So CI has to be true, and either of the other criteria. Because if CI is not true, it's out of there. If CI is true, then it asks the first question. And if that first question is true, then it's happy. It meets the criteria. If that first question isn't true, it's got a second chance. And if that second chance is true, then it meets the criteria. Otherwise, we've run out of chances. So it has to be CI, and it has to meet either of the other two criteria. Yes, no, maybe?
No, no.
Okay. So now I'm going to pull up the next one. Okay. And this next one, I put in two more else's. Okay. So if you look at this, I have, does not meet the criteria, so I want to put that here. It does not, goes here, and I can't write it all because it doesn't fit. But the greater than 30, the does not goes there. And the else that goes with the first question about CI also says, does not. And I will go and put the regular code up so you can see it better. But, actually let me take a picture of that and then I will put up the other code. Okay. So that is right now. Let's look at how the ifs and else goes together. This if else go together. This one goes together. And the last one goes together. So the inner one about the third goes together, then the one about the second goes together, then the one about the first goes together. And they each have an else. And so everything has an action up there. Okay, you can then compound that to say if it's CI and either of these meet the criteria, then we're all set. Now I'm going to get rid of the writing because I think we can look at the code better without it. Okay, on both this one and the one above, the one where I didn't fill in all the else's in this one, we have a piece of compound code. And the compound code basically says, if it's CI now ands get resolved before ors, if you remember. Okay, ands. Get resolved before ors. Which means that it will say text equals CI and either of the things because I have the parenthesis there. And so it says and you can really read that parenthesis as either. So I'm saying, and either it's greater than 3.5 in the second one, or the third is greater than 30. And I close those in parentheses so that the and will be resolved first. And that's both here and on the one down below. The difference in the one down below is that I had the else's, so I have an else does not meet criteria. On the first one, I did not have the else's to give out the errors, so it just has an if and if. It doesn't have an else. Now, if I left out the parenthesis on those top ones, that I thought I'd done one where I left out the parenthesis. If I leave out the parenthesis, okay, so if I say remove the parenthesis, then these two are grouped. They go together because ands are resolved first. So it's this and this. or just this, or just that. So the ands get resolved, so the two things around the and get said, okay, this is a group. It's this and this. Or just that. So this is without the parentheses. Without the parentheses is CI and second greater than 3.5. Or just third greater than 30. You look perplexed. We can go and try it. So I will get rid of the ink and we'll run this. So which is which? A and either B or C is the first one. That doesn't have the else. And the next one has the else. Okay, so I'm saying if it is CI and what just happened? And I'm looking for greater than, no, let's see what am I looking for? All right, we'll say 3 there, so it's not greater than, but this one will make 40, so it is greater than, okay? So now if I run this, I say meets criteria, because CI is not greater than 3. Well, number 2, the second thing, is not greater than 3, but the third thing meets the criteria. And I said CI and either of these. Okay, and either of those. So if I also say CI and 3.7 and 20, then it meets the criteria, right? So if I click on this, that meets the criteria because 3.7 is greater than 3.5, so that meets the criteria. So that one will print. Okay, so now let's change it and say greater than 3.7, 20, and we'll take out the parentheses. So now I want to close this and take out the parentheses. Okay. So now I'm saying, okay, those parentheses are gone. And now I'm going to run it. So instead of CI, I'm going to put BU in there. And then I'm going to have 3.6, and I will have 45. Okay. Now, according to what I originally wanted, that doesn't meet the criteria, right? Because I said I wanted CI has to be true, and either of the other true. But right now, I'm saying BU. So that doesn't mean the CI has to be true, but okay, did I not save that? Okay, so it's if text let me see if I didn't save that right, because it's just not clicking. Okay, so I've got those two out of there, right? So now I'm going to do a file save just to be sure. File save all just to be sure. Oh, duh. These are commented out. Not terribly effective way to prove my point. Okay, so now, and then I've got to comment these out. Well, I made it go away. That's fine. We'll make it go away. Okay, so now if I run this, why am I having such a horrible time with this? It is, my mouse is doing something strange because I had trouble in the other class too. Either I'm too quick with the mouse or something is going wrong. Okay, so I'm putting in BU, 4L4 is fine, and 40, right? And then I say run it, and it says meets criteria. So even though I've got the BU there, it is saying that it meets the criteria. And the reason is that the parenthesis is gone, and so therefore, when the parenthesis is gone, it is saying group these two, and this one is alone. Well, the alone one is true, because it is greater than 30, it's 40. So it doesn't matter that it's BU because the OR is greater than 30, 40 is greater than 30, so it's happy. Because it grouped the first two or the third standing alone. Yes, no, maybe?
Yeah, I like just to understand that.
Yeah, okay. But that would still make it a group.
Yeah.
Okay, so what you said that you did...
That was just I pretty much understood it, but just to see it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So that's actually probably a good way. So if I put parenthesis here, is what you're saying, that shows very clearly that those have been grouped.
It just shows it, but it would still act differently.
But ands are greater than ors, so it doesn't matter because ands get resolved before ors too. So those parentheses do not change anything. So if I still do the 4 and the 40 and still click this, I still get meets criteria.
Just the or there.
Right, it just does the or third is greater than 30. Okay. So that's how that works. And I think there's maybe one more example down there. Yeah, because this one isn't part of it. Okay, the other thing is, here's a convert to upper. And what that does is, if they enter lowercase ci, they convert what the user enters to upper and compare to ci. So if I enter lowercase ci, it will work just fine because it converts to upper before it does the compare. So the toUpper function or toUpper method converts whatever the user typed in the first box to uppercase before it makes the comparison. And that really is the only thing that I did there. I also changed all of the messages, so if I have different messages, I can't make a compound. Because if everything results in a different message, then I can't make a compound because they all need a different message. Okay. So that's where that stands. Okay. That's what I wanted to go through. Now, your homework, I didn't know whether I was going to get to the if statements or not. So I said on this homework that I wanted you to write this program without using ifs, and then go back and modify it and write it a second time using ifs. So the first time you're going to write it, you're going to have buttons for every activity. You have to click different buttons for everything. And the second time you write it, when you go back and you throw in the if statements. Okay, so here's the assignment. And after we've looked at if statements, which we just have, go back and modify the program to use if statements to test quantity. Okay, and then results are completing this. So those are the things that you have to do. And we are done.